You know I'm preaching, so I got to hear back from you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. There we go. Hey, let's give our sound guys a big applause. Come on, let's hear it for them. Struggles this morning, they got us through it again. Thank you so much, guys. I'm going to preach from an iPad this morning. Never done that before. Hope it goes well. Okay. So good morning. In case you don't know me, I'm Tim Malone, the family ministry director here at Cornerstone. And usually, I tend to preach about this time of the summer when Billy's on vacation. And usually I have some good pictures to show you of the mission trips and the camps and all the fun things we did this summer. I don't have those pictures this year. But we did have four wonderful interns, Ethan Ryle, Chris Martin, Kayla Weaver, and Anna Malone, that did a super job planning the spontaneous summer. That's right. They did a super job. And parents or students, if they blessed you, I would just encourage you to write them a note. They worked really hard, and it worked out really good this summer. So we took the stage away because I tend to walk around when I preach. So sorry about that, Billy, but I can't stay on a 4x4. So guys, stay with me. And this morning, we're continuing the summer series called Rooted. Pastor Billy started this series several weeks ago, reminding us to grow our roots deep into Jesus so that we can mature in our faith no matter what we are facing in times of blessing or times of suffering. And we're going to pick up on that theme today as we talk about hope. And you're probably wondering, Tim, why did you pick that passage about hope? Well, I didn't start with hope. I actually started with the word groaning because I feel like that's a good way to describe the year 2020. We are in the groan mode. Groaning reminds us that life is hard. But the interesting thing is groaning and hoping are linked. If there's no groaning, there's no hoping because you got everything you need. So the good thing, quote, quote, about groaning is it leads us to hope. And the big question today is, what are you hoping in? And I started to think about Malone. What are you hoping in? And I confess, my hope is weak. I hope for things like a good day. But I take it further than that. I hope that everyone likes me. I hope that I can do everything right all the time. I hope that I can be a perfect parent. I hope I can be the best youth pastor ever. You know what? None of those things are ever going to happen. So where does that leave me? Discouraged, right? Yeah, if you hope in your own performance, you're going to be discouraged. So I started to think maybe there's other hopes, which of course we know as believers. The hope that Jesus gives us, not the world. Hope that is always available, hope that will never fail, a hope greater than we can manage, a hope stronger than death, a hope that sustains us in the worst of times, a hope that is greater than our pain, the hope of renewal of all things, a hope that can motivate us to live for Jesus, a hope that is worth sharing with others. So the wrong kind of hope can lead us to discouragement. But the right kind of hope can lead us to deal with any and everything and lead us to contentment. And that's my goal this morning, is just to lead us back to the hope we have in Christ. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8. I know that's the greatest chapter in the Bible. It might be labeled that. I don't know. But we're going to jump right in the middle. Paul is started this theme in chapter 5 about the righteousness that we have in Christ. And with that righteousness comes this hope for future glory. So we're going to pick it up right smack in the middle, verse 18. Hear the word of the Lord. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that you give your children through Jesus Christ. Renew our hope. Help us to look past the things of this world and delight in who you are and what you've done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so verse 18 is the topic sentence. English people out there, you know what that means. Everything else under that paragraph is going to lead back to that topic sentence. So if you forget anything today, just go back and read verse 18. It's all right there. Okay? Now, Paul here, he says, the suffering we experience is nothing compared to the glory that we will experience. Now, he's not diminishing our suffering. Suffering is real and it's hard, but he's magnifying the glory that awaits us. So if we had a scale, suffering, hardship, suffering, pain, sickness, death, right? The suffering side seems to always win, always kind of outweighs the good moments. But then the glory that's going to be revealed to us, it tips the scale completely. The suffering is gone. It flew away because this was so heavy. And I wonder, how people that don't know the Lord, how can you balance that scale? I got a raise. I got a vacation. I got a car. Everything's going well. Uh-oh. I don't know. I used to live that way. It's really hard. Thank you, Lord, for the hope you give us. It is greater than our suffering. So now in verses 19 through 22, Paul is going to use creation as an example of this groaning and waiting and hoping, okay? So he says creation is waiting. All of creation, all around us, is waiting eagerly. And you're saying, well, what's it waiting for? It's waiting for the renewal. It's waiting for this new creation. It says here, it's waiting for the hope. It's waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, because when that happens, when we are revealed as who we really are, everything is going to change. Am I moving too much? I'll stay still. Lord wants me to, yeah, good luck, right? Lord wants me to preach by staying still. So the question is, why is creation waiting? What's it, where is it now? And in verse 20, Paul tells us creation is subject to futility. Creation is under a curse. The whole universe, everything is under a curse. And that's not hard to see. If you're a gardener or if you have a lawn, you know we are under a curse. And then he even says that creation itself is in bondage to corruption. Again, that's not really hard to see. I was sitting on my deck working on this sermon, and I look up at my maple tree, and it's like raining inside my tree. I look up, there's not a cloud in the sky. I'm like, what is this? Is this Moses in the burning bush? No, it wasn't. I walked over to it, and there's these droplets falling down. And I'm looking at my tree, and you know what I saw? Some of you know what the answer is. Lantern flies, you better believe it. They're sucking the juice out of my tree, and then they're excreting these drops called honeydew, which is sugar water, and it's making it rain inside my tree. Talk about creation in bondage. And it, remember this, public service announcement. If you see a lantern fly, kill it. They're no good. Creation is in bondage. And last week, Pastor Dave showed us a picture of the giant sequoia tree and how it can stand fire. And look how majestic this tree is. But guess what? It's still subject to the curse. I can't wait to be in glory and see a tree not subject to the curse. It will be more amazing than anything you have ever seen here. Then Paul gets real and says, creation's groaning is similar to that of childbirth. Now, I don't know what those pains are like, and I'm not even going to pretend to describe that to you. But really what he's saying is that there's right now creation. It's getting ready to give birth to this new creation. So it's suffering the pains, but soon there will be a birth. There will be this new creation, and all the pain is gone. And that's where creation is right now. It's ready. It's primed. It's going to give birth real soon. Creation, example of groaning and hoping. And then in verse 23, he brings us into discussion. Creation, the picture. Now let's get to us. Us, and he describes us who have the first fruits of the Spirit. That means those of us who place their faith in Christ. That means those of us who place our faith in Christ are going to suffer. Period. No way around it. We're all under the curse. But the beautiful thing is that groaning will take us somewhere. We groan inwardly as we await something spectacular, the redemption of our bodies. And getting back to the groaning, I'm getting to the age where I experience more and more suffering. Just last week, my best friend lost his mom, talked to another friend, found out he had a massive heart attack at my age. That's scary. Talked to another friend. He's split up with his family. He's going into rehab. Just the things that are happening outside. And then, of course, family stress, financial stress, COVID, not being able to see my parents, missing all of you. The suffering that's going on right here in our midst. And then I put on that my own sin and struggles. My goodness. Groaning, groaning, groaning. It's a heavy weight. Right, people? I said, right, people? Thank you. I hope I'm not the only one groaning here. I know I'm not, right? And my friends, just an aside here at Cornerstone, we want this to be a safe place to name your groaning. Without fear of judgment or shame. Man, it's already hard enough to live under the curse. And I know what it's like to feel shame. But Jesus removes our shame. And church, we should be shame removers, right? This is a safe place to share your groaning, whether it's yours or maybe a friend's or a child. It doesn't matter. The groaning of this world is hard enough. Please don't do it alone. Talk to someone. And I wonder, as I look out here and to y'all out there on TV, I wonder, what's your groan today? You ever feel hopeless? You ever feel like it's never going to end? And so these groanings are an expression saying there's got to be something better. It's just not working. And that's what it is. It's a cry for redemption. It's a cry saying, Lord, please heal us. And that's where groaning takes us. Groaning takes us to hope. They're linked. You can't hope if everything's great. But we live in a broken world. So you know everything cannot be great. The great Russian author, Dostoevsky, I practiced that. I knew I was going to mess it up. He said this, to live without hope is to cease to live. Hope is powerful, and it is part of the human experience. That cannot be denied. As a matter of fact, we hope every single day. Several times a day, we're hoping for something. You don't have to be a believer to understand that. The world understands that. And, you know, I just Googled a little bit about hoping, and, this was what one person said. Hey, you just gotta believe. If you're suffering, all you got to do is name what you want and everything will be okay. That was their method to dealing with pain. Pretend it's not there and think good thoughts. I'm wondering how that's going to work on this scale. Suffering, suffering, suffering. Oh, I'm just going to pretend it's not there. Come on, people. That doesn't work. The world really has no answer. You can try to think positive. And you can believe all the things you want. But they cannot stand up to heartache, to illness, and death. You can't trick yourself into hope. Well, that's the world, but my friends, listen closely. We Christians do the same thing. Well, not exactly, but we are guilty of tying our hope to earthly things. How much do you think about your stuff and getting new stuff? Just ask yourself, what are you hoping for yesterday, today? Are you looking for a new boss, a new car? Are you looking for school not to be online? Lost my place there. Are you looking for a new boyfriend, a new job? Are you looking for your spouse to change? Are you just hoping to have a few good friends? Are you looking for a new church? We like to hope everything will be fine and just go on our way. How's that working for you? There's a story about a couple who got married, and their plan was, we're going to work for 25 years. We're going to save, invest, and then when we hit 50, we're going to retire and live the good life. And they stayed to their plan, and they worked through it. They got to 50. They retired. They started the good life. At 51, the wife got a debilitating disease. All their dreams, poof, 25 years. That's what happens when we hope in the wrong things. Poof. It goes up in smoke and leaves us grasping what happened. My point is, as receivers of God's promises, let us hope in Him. Let us receive the hope that He gives His children. Let us not look in other places. I know it's hard. Believe me, I struggle. That's why this message is for me too. Heading on to verse 23, Paul says, we wait, just as creation's waiting, we are waiting eagerly for adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. And I know you're saying, wait, Tim, aren't we already adopted as His children? Yes, we are. But this is the tension of the already and the not yet. Okay, we already have the promises of God. We are His children, but we've not received our complete inheritance yet. We have the down payment, but not the ownership. And this creates a tension of what is and what is promised between our current experience and the experience to come. We are His children, but we have not received all that will be. So there's this waiting. And that's where we are. We're in this waiting process. We're in this longing. We're in this groaning right now, looking for redemption. We feel that longing every day. And then in 24, Paul says this, that the hope of the redemption is part of our salvation. And if we hope for something, it means we don't have it yet. I had a birthday this summer. I was hoping to get the game Settlers of Catan. And I was waiting and hoping. And guess what? I got it. So what? I don't hope for it anymore, right? Because now I got it. I know a lot of our students are hoping that they have fall sports this fall for their high school or their other teams, and they're hoping and hoping. And once they get it, hopefully they will, they're going to stop hoping, right? And I was thinking about it. You know, we can wait a long time for something if we know it's coming, right? If you're going out to your favorite restaurant and you have to wait 2 hours, you don't care. I'm about to get a burger, you know? Or for those of you who like roller coasters, we go to Six Flags every year. Of course, we didn't go this year. Kingda Ka, 0 to 130 in 3 seconds. Yeah, we'll get in that line, and we'll wait, and it's hot, and it's stinky, and it breaks down. But we'll stay in that line because we know we're moving up, and we want to get on that ride. And the closer we get to the front, and you're seeing that car take off, you're getting more and more excited. Can you feel it, guys? We are getting closer and closer to the full redemption of this world. We are getting near the front of the line. I hope you're getting excited like I am. All this is going to, and we are going to be in glory. I wish I could describe it to you. Paul couldn't even describe it to you. This is what he says. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has planned for those who love Him. In other words, Paul's like, I can't even tell you because you won't even understand it. All we can say is it's going to be the best. All right, so let me close on a few ideas about hope. First thing I want you to do, take a hope inventory. What are you hoping for? What's getting you through today? Monday morning's a perfect gut check. When you wake up tomorrow, what are you hoping for? The day to be over. Maybe. I don't know. But what are the things you're looking for to fulfill you? Relationship, achievement, possession? What do you think is going to deliver? What's on your scale? What are you trying to balance out that suffering with? Examine. Where is God calling you to change? So that's step one. Step two, let your groaning lead to hope. We need to hook our suffering to hope. Hope in Christ. If we don't, it's going to vanish, okay? But remember this, nothing in this world can break the hope about who you are and where you're going. Nothing. That's what the rest of Romans 8 is about. Your story is not done, and your story has a glorious ending, guaranteed. How can you tell us this, Tim? I can tell you this because that's what Paul's telling us. That's what God's telling us. This is not the end, my friends. We're in childbirth. The new creation is coming. It's so exciting. So we got to build our hope. Mistakes and missed opportunities and regret can just be hope killers. Please. They're not you. God has forgiven that, and he's writing a glorious ending. So link our hope to Jesus. I encourage you this week to read the book of 1 Peter. Peter wrote to suffering people and reminding them of true hope. This will help us to put our suffering into context. Because look, when we get to glory, the sufferings of this world, they're going to be so minuscule, we're going to forget about them because the glory that we are about to have is so much better. As children of God, we can endure all hard things because we know what's coming. Allow this hope to shape you today. Access it. It's not out there. We can bring it in here. All right, two more points, almost done here. All right, third, hope in community. Don't wait in line alone. What happens if you got to go to the bathroom? You lose your place. You won't have anybody to talk to. My friends, in all seriousness, we groan and hope together. We just had a congregational check-in a couple weeks ago, and many of us are feeling spiritually disconnected. That's not good. And we put out a new survey this week as we want to try to bring you in, to connect, to get those spiritual friends to groan together. We don't want anybody to be out on their own. Plug in. Men, plug in. Couples, plug in. Students, plug in. Seniors, plug in. Children, plug in. And if you're already in line with a group, you better invite some people in line with you. Maybe somebody you don't know. Maybe somebody that's different than you. We groan together. We groan in community. All right, final thought. Jesus is our living hope. I just want to remind you that our hope is not based on how good you hope. Did you get that? Your hope is not your hope does not rest on your ability to hope. Because you're going to mess it up. You're going to hope in the stuff of this world. I know you because I know me. But it doesn't matter. That doesn't stop the Lord. That doesn't stop his plan. That doesn't stop his care for you. That doesn't stop his plan for you. So don't get discouraged if you can't put your hope in the right place. It's hard to look at the things that are unseen. But remember this, Jesus, who passed through the heavens and now sits at the right hand for the Father, interceding for us, he's our living hope, and nothing or no one can ever take that away. Final pictures from my favorite book, Lord of the Rings. Sam, he's in Mordor, the land of darkness, death, and suffering. And here's what the author writes. Far above the mountains in the west, the night sky was still dim and pale. There, peeping among the clouds, above a dark, rocky peak, high up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked out upon the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end the shadow was a small and passing thing, that there was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. He nailed it. That's our hope. The shadow is a small and passing thing. Our groanings and suffering, though real and difficult, when we're compared to what will be, is small and nothing. The wonder of future glory is more than we can imagine. And this hope of glory keeps us rooted. So no matter what comes our way, we can stand firm. Our hope is tied to the living hope, Jesus Christ. Let us wait eagerly for it. We are in line, and every moment we're getting closer to the front. And once we enter, all this is a poof of a memory, and we enter into the glory of God forever. What do we say to that, people? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, God, how good you are to us. And, Lord, we often confuse your goodness by what we have, what we own, what people think about us, etc. You know our mistakes, our sins. They're ever before us, Lord. But that does not distract or detract from your plan, because you are writing a glorious ending. And, Lord, help us to eagerly wait the new creation when suffering, death will be no more. And together we will praise your name and see you as you really are. Lord, make Cornerstone a community of hope. Help us to bring others in line, and help us to point to where we're going, and help us to be eager about getting there. Give us the vision of hope, we ask through Jesus this morning, Lord. Amen.
Would you please stand and sing with us?